Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the Letterman Lounge. It is Letterman Live. It is brought to you by Roosters. It's a fun casual joint. This is a fun casual conversation about the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Rose Bowl champions. It's great to be back here after a week in California. Brought the Ohio weather out there with us. And the Buckeyes made the most of it. 48-45. A thrilling win over Utah. Going to break that down and so much more. Great to be back with you guys. It's Justin Zwick, Cardell Jones in the house, Bobby Carpenter, and Spencer Holbrook in for Berm, who was in for me last week. And
did a wonderful job, by the way.
Did the best possible job that he could. It's always dangerous for me to leave and then just let the whole show go off the rails.
You just never know.
And I think it happened. But kudos to me, Bob. I know that you're very curious. My score prediction was 51-45 for that game. So my season was a success. I just nailed it from start to finish.
That's good. I mean, as long as you get the last one close, then that's all that matters, right? I guess. I mean, you know what? That's fine. It's all good. I mean, sit here, gloat. You had a lot of other ones that were big scores early.
Big scores.
You lured, Shellackins? You lured me. You lured me down.
We all followed along.
100%. Yeah. Dude, it's the gateway drug. Oh, take it. It feels so good. Calling him, hey, 55 to 10.
Done is a blowout. Let's do it.
That guy got a point.
Austin said so.
Hey, but I didn't call him. Blowout, just called the shootout, and Ohio State got the best of it. What did you guys think on Saturday?
So one of the things I looked at when looking at this game, I'm like, Ohio State, the defense comes to play, and they can hold them to like less than 110, 120 yards rushing. Like, you'll feel good about this game. You'll be able to watch it and be comfortable, because I didn't think their defense would be able to slow down this offense. Like, if not, there's a good chance Ohio State still wins the game, but it's not going to be an enjoyable experience. I did not fathom the fact that Ohio State would struggle offensively to start the game. And then you're down 35-21. You're like, okay, you get the ball to start the second half. You can steal this possession, get close. Maybe you get a stop. And I kept in my mission, like, in the, it's the same thing with the Michigan game. Like, if you can just get a score and steal a stop, get a possession, you get the lead, maybe you can start dictate tempo a little bit. And then CJ comes out and throws that interception to Julian Fleming. Like, oh, no. Left it low and inside on the fade. Like, what are we
not
doing?
Good, yeah.
And thankfully, you get a little bit of luck. You get the muffed punt. Things kind of turn a little bit, and you feel like the momentum started swinging. That the defensive performance in the second half, I think, you know, outside of the offense and Jackson and how well he played, and all the young receivers, like, you knew they were going to play well, just to what extent. But really, like, I was very impressed. When you give up 35 points in the first half, and you were literally beat down, they ran a quarterback sneak. So, like, looked like something out of Madden when you build a player that's, like, not real, that you can't tackle. He's just stumbling around. Dudes are bouncing
takes
off
the first hit and just kind of almost falls down but doesn't towards, like, the sideline.
Mel Tucker used to do something. There was a play that we had something similar to that I played at Ohio State, and he literally had one of the GAs tag it in, worst play of all time. Like, worst, like, that's something you're putting in there, like, when they run a quarterback sneak and score like a 45-yard touchdown. That's stuff that happens in Little League. That's stuff when I was playing quarterback back in junior high. We'd sneak it on fourth and one, I'd miss a tackle and take it 40 yards. Yeah. It doesn't happen in real life, not in the college football game.
Not in the Rose Bowl.
Sure as heck not in the Rose Bowl. But able to take all that in, and then come out, hold them to a field goal, and then a touchdown in the two ensuing quarters. And I don't think anybody saw that happening. And we can get into the speech by DeMario McCall. I mean, Vince Lombardi, Tim Tebow, whatever the heck he is. Win one for the Gipper, Newt Rockne. I don't know what he said in there. I wish he would have said it before the game, and then I would have felt more comfortable drinking and celebrating, you know, as I'm watching it. But they got it done, man. They got it done. And two guys I'd like to talk a little bit about quickly. Court Williams, I thought, stepped up and played really well on defense.
Jailhouse?
jailhouse, dude. He's big physical guy. He's out. He's been battling injuries. You know, they had some coverage things they're going to have to get cleaned up. But the more he's played, the better he's got. And that's what happens with young players. The more they play, the better they get. And then a guy who has been beaten down. He's
Save
playing
for your Buckeye.
Well, Bob. We'll get to that. But he plays like 70 snaps, doesn't get a tackle when everyone wants to bench him. I like to watch Tommy Eichenberg. Come on, get 17 tackles in a game. Yeah. Like, that's a lot. In the second half, he was like shooting through, making plays. I'm like, you know what? Like, there's some limitations that he has. Like, that's real. That's real with just about every player. But, like, okay, let's put him in positions moving forward where we can see more of this. And there's going to be games, and not every game, where you're going to need him to be able to do that. And so it was nice to see. And they're like, hey, we may have kind of, like, pseudo-checked a box. Like, this guy can actually come in and he can help stop the run and hopefully get some more of those guys, get Steele coming along and everybody else. And then it'll be a good deal.
Cade Stover. 12, what'd you think?
I think it was a good game. You got to get credit where credit is due. I think Utah came out to play. And just from, I mean, when has Ohio State ever played in the Rose Bowl? And I would say that their opponent fans dominated.
They showed up. They
They showed up because they was so supportive of their football team out there and the things they've done all season. And I don't know, man. Bobby talking about, you know, just the game overall, and if, you know, DeMario would have gave a speech before the game. You know, I would go take it a little bit further. I think if Utah quarterback don't get hurt and knock out that game, I think we may be sitting here talking about something differently. Do I think the outcome would have changed? I don't know, but I think it would have had some type of big time game winning drive by the Buckeyes to really seal the deal. But man, I get credit where credit is due. Those guys came to play, and I'm happy that, you know, the Buckeyes showed up in the second half, because I did not anticipate, you know, them giving up 10-13 points in the second half after giving up 35 in the first.
Yeah. Pretty great adjustments.
Yeah. There were. But the way that game started off, you kind of felt a little bit like Michigan. You know, Bob talked about you know, you're counting, all right, we're down how many times? All right, if we get one here, it's only one, that's easy, you know. And it just didn't have a great feel to it. I think once that offense got rolling for us, though, you know, I thought, and people talked about it all year long, and I hated it all year long, but CJ running the ball. Picks up a good first down on a scramble, and, you know, and then we go on to score. Yeah. And then we're scoring. You know, I think that kind of, as a quarterback, and Cardale, you may agree or disagree, but making that kind of play when you don't really do that a ton, that'll pump you up a little bit, right? That, you know, you get a little attitude going, then boom, then it's on. And your guys can kind of pick up on that in the huddle. And, you know, I think that maybe sparked a little bit right there to get things going, because we needed to score a bunch of points. And then, you know, they just did what they did all year long for the most part and went on.
Well, and if people were wondering how much C.J. Stroud or the rest of those Buckeyes that were out there cared about it.
No, 100%.
That's something you've talked about all year, Cardale. He's going to have to go out and make some of those plays and use his legs at times. It's not going to be design runs and zone reads, but when that yardage is there and the windows aren't able to throw, he's going to have to go force it.
Yeah.
And he didn't slide.
You go third and out again there, you know, and they go down and get another one. It's 21-0. I mean, that's a big play to go and get that first down and do something that you're not used to doing, but you're helping that team out.
Yeah, sure. I think this last 3 weeks has lit a different fire under C.J. Stroud's you know, rear end, just because of, you know, with the way he finished in the Heisman.
Mm-hmm. How the whole Heisman went down.
Yeah, exactly.
The jokes and this and that and the other. Like, you knew he was going to come out with a little fire.
Thanks, Desmond.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly that, and then, you know, just the bad taste, I'm pretty sure, left in the house with you know, the Michigan game and not having another opportunity to play with your guys, because clearly, you know, the top guys are going to opt out of bowl games. It was not the playoffs. That's the new day and age we live in right now, which is totally understandable in my perspective. But I definitely feel like, you know, he felt as if a lot of things were left undone, and it was his chance to really put a nice way to end 2021 season with, you know, going out there having a performance of 500 plus yards.
Yeah, almost 600.
I mean, all the records that went down.
Yeah. Golly.
Last Spence, what do you got?
Last week I said that if Ohio State got punched in the mouth, if they didn't respond well to it, then the first quarter of the Utah game would say a lot more than the third quarter of the Michigan game did, because of the way that, you know, you don't really have a reason to be there other than just pride to play in the Rose Bowl. They got punched in the mouth, and they made the most of it.
A couple times.
Yeah, they got punched hard in the first half. Whether it's going down 14-0, that's a reality check there really quick against a good physical Utah team. Whether it's, you know, you finally get some momentum and score a touchdown, and there goes Britton Covey down the sideline for a kick return that took all that momentum that you had and just
and Lathan Ransom's laying on the ground with a broken leg.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You get a one of your guys is carted off the field at the same time Utah's getting those 7 points back, and that thing could have gotten sideways really quickly, and Utah could have ran away with a game and really embarrassed Ohio State, sent them into an offseason with a lot of questions, even more than we still have about this team after a win. But to rally around everybody and to rally around a guy like DeMario McCall at halftime, a guy who's
been there 7 years.
Yeah, who's
is that it? It seems like longer than that.
Six, but that's a long time.
I had to do a double check.
He played with Josh Berry.
I was like,
he played with you.
No,
he would. Are you sure?
Yeah, he didn't play. He was a year after us.
He came in
16.
Yeah. Count him up, Bob.
Yeah, we all lost. he did.
Missed you by a year.
Still,
I've seen him on recruiting trips. That's enough right there.
But for the unsung guys to make plays on this defense, Tommy Eichenberg stepping up. He's not really unsung, but he's a guy who's been doubted all season. Cade Stover having, I think, 6 tackles when he was playing tight end 2 weeks ago. And then a guy like Teron Vincent, who was a 5-star guy, who really hasn't made a lot of plays in his career that are worth talking about, to have the kind of game that he did in the middle to keep Tavian Thomas in check. And
we needed him to have, because Haskell's not being there. I mean, you needed him to step up, and I think he did.
Those are the kind of guys where when your defense is really down bad and the veterans who don't normally step up start to make those plays or start to give those speeches, that's when you can really start to turn this thing around. And I think you saw the building blocks, even if some of these guys move on to the next level or leave the program, some of the building blocks that were set on New Year's Day are going to be felt in October and November next year.
I mean, the linebacker position, I think they only dress like 4 or 5 guys. I mean, that's all.
Counting Cade Stover, that's 5 scholarship players.
Yeah, so that's like warm bodies, everybody. And, EO hadn't played a lot as well. I mean, he'd been battling some COVID injuries and some different things. So like, he's thrown back in there after being out for a couple weeks. I mean, it was really kind of an all hands on deck. People are like, this Cade Stover experiment. I'm like, it's not an experiment. It's literally like all they got.
It's desperation.
Like, you think I like driving around my car with a donut on it? No, I got to do it because I got a flat tire.
Okay? Yeah, that's it.
That's the only one that was available.
That's it.
Okay? I'm going to go get a full spare when I've got some time. But right now, I need to get where I'm going. And so that was kind of the mantra. And honestly, it worked out really well because this was a game. If they were playing a spread team, maybe you can go with less linebackers, but Cade is kind of the perfect guy. And it's hard not playing defense all year. It's not like they go practice tackling with the tight ends.
Mm. Right.
It's like, hey, then you got to be out here tackling all of a sudden. It's something they spend a lot of time on. So, he has to come over and do that. But it was a perfect game from a standpoint of Cade is a big physical dude. Mm-hmm. He's not the fastest guy you're going to find, but they did a ton of YY, 2 tight ends over there. It's like, Cade, bro, you weigh 250. Get on these, just bang on these dudes. Yep. Set an edge, knock them back, and be that guy. Bang it on dudes. That's what I told him. That's what it's all about there. And let them know. Let them feel you, sir. Let them feel you right there. And set a tempo for that offense. So
put that weight on them.
They were able to get that done. And it was just out of necessity, and it didn't look pretty in the kickoff return. Dude, you want to talk about punch that gut. I had blocked that out because – until Chavez brought it up, because I wanted to forget, because at that point, like, okay, they can get a stop and go get a score and tie it up. And it's like, oh, no. My wife's like, what? Did he just run that back? I'm like, yeah. Because usually, you turn away. No one even returns kickoffs anymore.
Yeah. But people against us do, because we don't have a kicker that can put it in the end zone, apparently.
Well, they use that strategy.
More often
than not, they succeed keeping teams inside the 25. But Utah... We saw that against Oregon.
He's a dangerous return guy.
Maybe just go
at the end of the game, we're letting him just, hey, let's see if you can take another one back. Here we go.
Noah Ruggles can definitely get it there. And the fact that they kept continuing to kick it short, it wasn't windy in the Rose Bowl. I thought that was a strange choice. And then they even did it with 9 seconds left in the game. Like,
if anyone you're going to kick out of the end zone, this is it,
that's
right?
That's the one.
Put it anywhere.
Mind-blowing.
When Ohio State gets back on offense after that kick return, you're like, okay, if this is a quick possession, then it might go really sideways. Well, it was a quick possession because it was a strike over the middle to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who, okay.
So good.
We just went, I think, 10 minutes into this show without talking about
him. I mean, listen.
We were going to get him in the Buckeye leaves here.
Yeah, we'll get him there.
Remarkable. I don't know if we any of us have a word to say about him, because I couldn't think of a word at the end of the game to describe.
You know what my word
exactly
is? Describe
what he did.
It's 2 words: Jameson Williams. Because I had to listen to everybody say, "How did you let this guy leave all year?" And I'm like, believe me, the guy that is going to play there was the guy that we saw finally when you cleared the dance floor for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing against Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. They're great players. They're going to be first-round draft picks. And then you have this guy play, and you're like, well, okay, maybe you feel a little bit better about he was going to be number three, and James was going to be number four, and they'd rotate and do some stuff, and he'd want to share it. But Jackson, I mean, by displaying that, and even the last couple of games, I mean, he has played really, really well.
Yeah, I understand. Different players, though. I think if Jameson would have stayed, he would have been more on an outside threat as Chris,
yeah.
Because that's what he's really known for, taking the top off the defense. Mm-hmm. I think out of those three receivers at Ohio State, would pick your poison and what you want them to do. I think Jackson is the guy because of the things he's able to do. He just understands it. I watch him run routes. I watch him during the game and things like that, and you can tell he just understands space. Not saying these other guys don't,
right.
But he's that guy that's like a Keenan Allen that don't have the top-end blazing speed. I'm going to beat you on the deep ball, but if I catch a slant or two, I can take it to the house.
Mm-hmm.
He's that guy you can put on the outside. He's that guy you put on the inside, pick your poison. He's that type of guy. And Olave and Wilson is more of your traditional Olave take the top off the defense, great, great, clearly a first-round receiver, and Wilson can run any route in the playbook. But are you going to put those guys on the inside? Probably not. Probably not, but Jackson is a guy you can put anywhere.
Well, including out of the backfield in this game.
Yes. Yeah.
A new wrinkle.
It's hard to call a timeout. I saw him in the backfield. Timeout. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, but something's going to be bad.
Yeah, and he runs a freaking angle route on your linebacker.
Oh, it's because if you don't have a corner in there, you're like, all right, well, it's zoned.
Yeah.
They were playing.
You put a corner.
How do you go?
You're going to put a corner at middle linebacker to guard him.
It screws up your run fit.
Exactly.
They had a running back, a cornerback. I mean, that hell, that's not. Forget that. They had three of their, top four cornerbacks out in this game.
They were shorthanded.
I'm not taking anything away from, but we should have went out and had
which made it that weird the game. Times that they were like, well, let's throw on Clark Phillips. Do they already like?
Well, yeah, right. He's the one guy that's
best corner
yeah.
that was committed to Ohio State and a five-star. I think we could talk about this game in particular heading into the offseason for about 10 hours, but we're going to try not to. We got a lot of other things to cover, including our Buckeye Leaves brought to you by Roosters. I believe – we have mozzarella sticks for appetizer Tuesday.
That's the rumor.
Make sure you check here. But somewhere there will be $2 appetizers tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't want
to be something.
It looks like mozzarella sticks unless we eat them all today. Nicole texts me.
Look at this mozzarella stick, by the way.
Well, that's a 2-for-1 right there.
Yeah,
the double they're
together
taking it home
it counts as one mozzarella stick.
Two sticks are better than one.
I think this will help everybody because Nicole's taking a little bit of a surprise pick. Noah Ruggles was her Buckeye Leaf. I think probably just because she was really excited about the wave at the end.
That was a little cocky.
A little bit of swagger. But Noah Ruggles with two field goals in the game winner. That's Nicole's Buckeye Leaf. She'll be back next Monday. She had a busy week leading that bowl trip giveaway that's now in the rearview mirror. I believe it went off without a hitch and a lot of success. So she earned a day off from us. She'll be back next week, Bob. You already gave two players, but do you have another Buckeye Leaf?
I mean, can I just, resubmit?
Sure.
I mean, those guys, I just wanted to make sure that we got them in and gave them their ample time.
Sure.
Just because of, Court, he's been beat up, he's been hurt, and he's a heck of an athlete. And you look at him, how physically gifted he is. I mean, he's going to do some really good things. And I'm not a big believer in momentum from a team winning a bowl game, carrying over to next season as far as an entire team. But I do believe in individual players because coaches can see that and all right,
yeah.
We've seen them do this in practice a little bit, but it's always a projection. Can they take it to the game? And so you got to see Court Williams do some things there's going to be some space opening up. We need to find a way to integrate him into our defense. Let's start building things around him in the spring, what he does well. All right, Tommy Eichenberg, this is what you do well. We're going to find a way to put you in situations where you're able to have success because when we put you there, you did a pretty good job against some, certain situations. So those two guys, they get Buckeye Leaves. They played really well in the second half. I know there's a million guys on offense that we could give them all to with everything they've seen, but both of those dudes, younger guys, one kind of criticized throughout the year for lack of production, another one who, been waiting to see, who's been maligned by injury.
Yeah.
And so I love when they can finish the season feeling good and confident. And, frankly, part of the thing on defense, you need some leaders. And I think those guys, when you play well like that, you can establish yourself as a leader and establish your voice going in the offseason.
I'm going to have to go with – but while Nicole is speaking about that field goal, I'm going to – I didn't like the field goal, by the way, and the time management leading up to it was horrible. But anyway, I didn't understand it at all. But anyway, my Buckeye leap has to go to, I'm going to say, Marvin Harrison Jr., because we knew that, you know, it was going to be heavy pass game. We knew that, you know, clearly he had to focus on Jackson and things he had done to this point of the season. They still couldn't stop him. But when his number was called, he performed and he showed up. I mean, 6 catches, 3 touchdowns. 70, 80 yards, but making some big-time catches.
Yeah.
In a situation like that where he, you know, didn't see much of playing time, but, you know, seeing as much as biggest field, biggest stage of his career so far, and for him to go out there and have 3 touchdown catches, unbelievable. So I'm going to go with Marvin.
CJ called him Route Man Marv.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny, man? And it's, you know, I trained with a guy, Donovan, and we spoke about this earlier this year. Donovan McNabb played mm-hmm. with Marvin's dad in college. And he said his dad was the best route runner he ever seen. Yeah. And at this point, when I was out there training with Donovan in April, I think the spring game had just happened or something. And he was like, man, he looked like his dad. The way he
Except he's
route.
Way bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Said, Marvin's way, not a big dude.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. And he said the way he run routes and stuff, he said, man, it's that. But that's pretty cool to hear. And clearly awesome. It's in his genes. But pretty cool to hear that his quarterback is already raving about his route running ability.
And a lot to look forward to.
Exactly. Yeah, you know. Exactly. I mean, shoot, Mike said it. He think he got, you know, including Jameson from last year, I think he got 7 first-round receivers in that room. And I think we saw 2 more, you know, potentially 3, you know, in the Rose Bowl.
Might want to drop off a bag at Brian Hartline's office.
Yeah, no doubt. Just send him a check and say, fill this out, please.
Yeah.
What would you like?
Yeah. Fill it a blank. Yeah. Fill it
please
a blank,
fill
buddy.
Fill this out and get back to us.
What do you need?
Let's see. I'm going to schlegel it up here a little
bit.
Oh,
look.
Yeah.
But it's really not that many. You know, you got to throw one out. You got to throw one out to CJ because what a game. Yeah. I mean, what? 9 incompletions, I think it was, 1 with being an interception. I mean, like, incredible go out. Now, we knew he should have had that kind of game going against a secondary that was depleted, but offense gave him enough, you know, line gave him time to throw the ball, go through his reads. He was remarkable. Then I'm going to go off the rails. Bob kind of already mentioned him, 35-6. Kind of watched the replay yesterday, and in that second half, those guys kept popping out, you know, a little bit here and there. Now, not maybe huge plays, but they were making plays. Yeah. And, you know, in that 10-point half that we had in the second half, we had to have. So the defense stepped up. I think those were 2 guys that kind of helped along the way. And then Emeka Ibuka, I think it was over 150 yards returning yards. I mean, that's big time to get you out from inside your you know, your end zone and give that offense some breathing room.
Well, he left
so I
like
think
40 on the shelf with a penalty,
well,
too.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's big to have. And, you know, we talked about their returner. We had a pretty good one ourselves. And excited to see what he will do moving forward as well with these young wideouts.
Right. Is that all?
Sorry, yeah, that was all. It was just a mini. It was a mini schlegs.
Mini schlegs. All right.
I'm gonna give mine to the just whether it's Jackson, whether it's Marvin, even Julian Fleming, like the wide receiver room to come together.
Brian Hartline, maybe,
and replace. Yeah, but you know he does so much, but he's not the one out there making those plays. And for these wide receivers to replace the production,
I think he'd like to be though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If he could play in those joggers that only go like halfway down his calf, I think he would still be playing.
It's called style, Spence. Style.
But the guys for stepping up and replacing that production in the room that needed to be replaced, and it wasn't just Jackson. You know, everybody's going to point to what Jackson did, but Julian Fleming had a couple really nice catches. You know, Emeka, the over-the-shoulder catch on the great read that CJ had to get the ball down the field. The pinpoint accuracy of CJ, but also the guys to catch it and the focus that comes with those over-the-shoulder or the back-shoulder throws. And then, you know, so I guess it's just the wide receiver room as a collective. But also, like, I do want to shout out, and I, you know, he didn't play, but Chris Olave, ops out of the game, can go anywhere in the country and train. He chose to stay for another week, train with his guys, lead them on the field. You know, when they're coming off the field, I was seeing on TV, you know, Chris is in their ear talking to him. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a leader, guy who knows that if he breaks an ankle or tears an ACL in this game, you know, his draft stock could plummet potentially because he's not going to get a workout for guys. So, you know, kudos to him for opting out. But to opt out but then also stay with the team, travel with the team, teach the team and teach these young guys that last week of training that Chris Olave gave to Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Ibuka, Jaden Ballard, those guys probably will never forget that. And to be able to take that training into the offseason, Chris Olave deserves a lot of credit for what he did. And I'm not going to blame Garrett Wilson or Haskell Garrett or Nicholas Petitfrere for not being there, because you can go train anywhere that you want. And you've earned the right to be out of this game because you're good enough that you don't need to play. But for Chris to take that leadership mantle and to really do that, it says a lot about who Chris is.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a great point. I remember hearing the reports and the rumors at first that, you know, these guys are opting out. I just seen a picture of him walking into practice.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you talking about? Yeah. But for him to still be around those guys, and, you know, I think it speaks to a point where, you know, Bob can attest to this, Justin, when you have a guy that's hurt, especially on an NFL level, when a guy's hurt, he go out somewhere else and get service and train and treat on other stuff. But when it's a true leader, a guy that's for his team, you know, whatever he's doing, he's going to be around the facility as much as possible. And there, a guy that kind of reminds me of that, of JT Barrett, when, you know, him and Braxton actually were hurt during that season, and how much Braxton was in our quarterback room still and meeting rooms and helped JT become that starter. And then, you know, the things that he was able to do as a redshirt freshman, and then vice versa, when JT get hurt and him still being around me, and he was a guy I always talked to right when I hit the sideline.
Yep.
You know, where he could have been, you know, somewhere else doing rehab, in a booth, or, yeah, mm-hmm, you know. But like I said, that just speaks to the leadership of these guys. I mean, you know, going back to that season of 14, shoot, Braxton wasn't playing, but we playing up in Minnesota, probably the coldest day I ever been a part of my life. You know, only game I ever prayed not to get into, it was so cold. seriously, but keep it close, Minnesota. You know, they got out,
and they did.
Tackle. Yeah, exactly. I think we ended up winning by 7 points. But to see this guy, Braxton, on the sideline, to continue to encourage and talk to JT about different looks and think about this and think about that, and he goes out to have the longest, slowest run in, you know, in sports,
and which
history.
Is probably what those young receivers take from Chris being there, more than just maybe
exactly
showing them technique or this or that. Just, hey, man, this is what a real leader looks like. This is what exactly we have to strive to be in this exactly room, and this is how we get year after year after year of players coming through here who really understand what it's about, how to be great, and what it takes.
The sheer joy on Chris Olave's face after the game. I saw a couple people, different people had interviewed him and talked to him, and you see clips of him. He doesn't show a lot of emotion, but to be as happy as he was after the game, that he didn't even plan, but the confetti's raining down. That's a guy who needs a Rose Bowl ring. I know he didn't play, but I think that's the kind of guy who needs a ring.
He wanted to be around the Buckeyes the whole week, and he was one of the last people to leave the Rose Bowl stadium. He kept going back and forth outside the tunnel, just, you know, hugging people and coaches and other players. And he'd walk up to the bus, and then he'd come right back down. You could tell he didn't want it to be over, and that's why he was torn. He wasn't going to play all last week. He had already had his exit physical, before they left Columbus. That happened. I don't know where the storyline came from that he was thinking about playing. That was never an option for him. But he wanted to be there, and then he didn't want it to be over. That's a guy who loved and gave everything he had to Ohio State. Could he have played one more? Sure, but why would he? Didn't need to. My Buckeye Leaf, to wrap it up, since they're all very good choices, I'm going to throw one out to the unsung hero for me, which is Mitch Rossi.
Hey!
Part of the reason that Cade Stover was able to be surplus to demands and go play at linebacker is that Mitch Rossi could go out there and do all the blocking. They could throw it to him on that play action, and he showed a lot of intestinal fortitude to cut that back to the middle of the field, turn that into a 22-yard game. I walked up to him afterwards. I said, you're just crazy. Like, you just love contact. You're not afraid of it. Fearless. That was a big play. Jeremy Ruckert played pretty well for his last game with Ohio State. Maybe you can lump in the whole tight end unit and Kevin Wilson's work with them. Stover, I asked him after the game, he's like, man, you just seem to love it there at linebacker. You're going back? And he's like, I don't think so. You look at the way that group has been reshaped and the toughness they showed, you give them a lot of credit. And Mitch Rossi, Ohio State would very much like for him, I think, to use that COVID year and come back. Former walk-on, has definitely made the most of his time at Ohio State. For now, that's going to be a wrap on what happened in the Rose Bowl. We've got a lot of other discussions about what was going on outside of it when we come back after this break on Letterman Live. It's brought to you by Roosters. It's a fun, casual joint.
Roosters is one of the unique companies that we deal with. They're involved in everything we do, from our personal foundation to also the Cancer Research Fund. And that's from the Buckeye Cruise from Cancer to all the events leading up to the Buckeye Cruise.
They donate back to different organizations that are near and dear to their heart. And we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long, long time.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Precision engineering, rigorous attention to detail. A Bryant Evolution heating system is so well designed, it's as much of a joy to install as it is to use.
Good to go.
for the dealer nearest you. Visit Bryant.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. Welcome back into the Letterman Lounge. Wrapping up the 2021 season. Hope everybody had a great New Year, a great Rose Bowl. And if you were watching on a second screen, you were probably curious about what the hell was happening with Marcus Williamson, who was not with the team last week, wasn't playing in the Rose Bowl, and had a lot of interesting commentary about what was happening for his now former teammates and a lot of other interesting accusations and his own experiences. You know, we can't really say for sure what goes through these minds, and everyone is going to view things differently during their time in the program. The three of you know that better than anybody. It's not the same, but as you watched what happened and the timing of it and the message that he had, you guys are part of the brotherhood. What did you think on Saturday with that part of it separate from the game and happening at the same time?
I always find the irony when people who should be at the game are not at the game, and then they take to social media to talk about not even really what was happening at the game, but like the totality of their time and duration with Ohio State. You know, Marcus Williamson, he's a Westerville kid. I've always had great, very positive interactions with him. I've enjoyed him. I mean, there's some things that he could have done to improve as a player. You know, but like the accusations he had about, you know, the exploit, okay, we can get into the conversation about our players, you know, taking advantage of as far as their worth and everything. And right now, the irony is, like, the NIL stuff has just passed, and we're talking about guys making all this money. Yeah. And so it's started to change. Like, if beforehand, that may have been different.
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, the accusations of race and stuff with Urban and all these different things. And, you know, Cardell played for Urban. I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of other guys that did. I've heard things that Urban is a jerk, but he always discriminated against everyone equally.
Yeah, equally, yes.
I never once saw him talk differently to anybody.
Equal opportunity hater.
Listen, his hate, his demeanor, his coaching style don't have a preference.
No.
You know, if you're a person that's adding or it's not adding value to the program.
To him trying to win football games.
To the program. Yeah, exactly. He's going to hate you just as much as anyone else. And I think hate is a strong word.
Hate's not the word. He just doesn't acknowledge you.
Yeah, he's going to treat you.
You're not even in his tunnel. I didn't even play for the guy, but just being around him a little bit, I can tell. Like, you're out here if you can't help him win a football game.
Exactly. He's going to treat you the exact same way. Because at the end of the day, but I think what players in this day and age now, and I said this about Urban coaching style and all the reports was coming out about the Jacksonville fire and all this other stuff. I said his coaching style, the reason why I think he'd never coach again, especially in college football, and he don't want to, is because of his coaching style. The day and age has changed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
These kids cannot, and these men cannot be pushed to their limits as they used to clearly when you guys played. And I think I was the last part of that culture and that environment of
being coached hard.
Exactly.
That's how I say it.
And really, if it's I want to say a verbal abuse, but, you know, a verbal shellacking to a point where you questioning, do you really want to do this? without saying, oh, this guy hates me. Right. He's racist. Oh, what is it? It's not me. It's so much of they look at an excuse for why something's not going their way. And it's usually blaming someone else. And I think all this stuff that came out, man, I can't speak for his experiences through Ohio State, but I can speak for his interactions with maybe a particular coach car as far as Coach Meyer. A racist bone in his body, I don't know. I surely didn't see. Because I was one of the guys that put a few extra gray hairs and maybe some strain on that heart of his. And I know a couple other guys of different skin color did the same. And we both in Dom Patrol are running extra lap saying, screw that guy. Yeah. Sharing stories. I can't stand him.
both on the climber.
Yeah. I hate him. He hate me. Oh, he hates you too.
I think you and Jake Stoneburner have the same situation.
Remind me of the editing process with this.
Right. I'm just saying, like, you know, and some of the things that, you know, he said that Coach Meyer did or said, I'm going to ruin your life and all this other stuff. Man, dude, clearly he's talking about on the football field. Clearly he's talking about he's going to make things harder for you. You think this guy, if you had a positive drug test, he's going to go out and tell every coach.
Say, hey, good job.
But you think he's going to tell every corporate America, don't hire this guy. Back in 17, he had a positive drug test. Mm-hmm. Like, I think guys take it, like, when they think their coach is coaching them too hard, or maybe a coach really don't like a player because players don't like coaches. You think he don't like you as a person, or he think he won't help you as a person, or you think he feels something with you as a person. Because this is how I always know if a coach really – you know, don't like a player. You ask about that player. He said, well, he's a good guy.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah. What'd you think about? Oh, he's a good dude, man. He get good grades.
You know, he helps the GPA.
Yeah.
Great guy off the field and not a good family. Yeah. A great family.
Yeah.
Elite exactly. Start,
yeah. So, no, I'm talking about, can he play on the field? Well, he can play a life. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, man. Like I said, I can't speak for the kid experiences at Ohio State, but I know you guys can attest to this, and 99.999% of the guys I talked to the last few days can attest this too. Wasn't like that. I mean, our experience wasn't
for
like
your
that.
Experience.
None of this is meant to diminish Marcus Williamson's feelings about it, and he said it, and you can take it seriously, and I'm not trying to discredit that part of it anyway. Mm-hmm. Just the presentation of it, and then the really vocal sort of response to that by not just you, Cardale, but so many other people who were in the room at that same time, and then factoring in, well, you're doing this in the middle of the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. We know that after four games, Marcus Williamson is one of those people who had a foot out the door. He talked about this publicly when he was ready to give up on this season and wanted to be a great team leader and come back and be with the brothers, and he played pretty well after that, but you're not with the team at that point. There's reasons for that. And then to kind of hijack the moment after everything you had said in September
about
the decision to be selfless, like, that was the message, and to give to the rest of those guys and to play really hard, like, that's, I think, what muddies the message for me. And again, that's not to – he can say what he feels, and I will take it seriously 100%, but – I struggle with it.
There's a time and a place to do something like that, right? Your brothers are out on the field playing a game where nobody else is seeing what's going on or can defend themselves type thing, isn't the time for me. When I first saw it, and maybe nobody else thought of this, but we had a guy walk off in the middle of a game this year. Mm-hmm. It's like, we have a guy doing this in the middle, you know, tweeting in the middle of a game this year. We have a guy leaving, like, I don't know if it's just this new era of college football or with the portal, just knowing they have opportunities to go other places or whatnot. But it's two instances like that in one season for a program like Ohio State. I feel like it doesn't usually happen.
I think part of it, too, is it is a little bit of a new era. And that's why recruiting now is so incredibly important. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the physical skill set of what guys bring. It's the ability of, like, to persevere through, like, a little bit of adversity. Yep. I mean, everybody in their career, like, you doubt a little bit, and anyone will tell you they don't, I think it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But you get to a place like Ohio State, and it's like, man, these coaches are really hard on me. The guys are really good. Like, you know, I mean,
this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you have to make that decision. Like, all right, well, let's get back to the drawing board and let's work a little harder and try to figure out and, like, solving it, have the answers to these problems. And
But what you just said right there is the problem, though. What's easier for me to go to the drawing board, look in the mirror, figure it out, self, or blame everybody you else. Or transfer portal? This is not going to transfer portal because I'm all for the portal and things like that. But I think it has eliminated some of the toughness factor of these coaches can be on these players, you know, and that gives these players an easy cop out to. he's yelling at me for 2 days straight. Let me go see what my other options are.
I guess
Ohio State goes for a cornerback in the portal. Well, we can't bring him in because we might get these guys.
Well, some of it is bringing in the right guys. But I look at what Hartline.
Don't bring up Ricks again.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's that type of thought process, though.
Well, part of it is depending if you're bringing in a dude who might not be a high quality individual, do you want him around younger players?
100%.
You know, it's like, what are we incentivizing here? We tell people that working hard matters and doing the right things. Well, if you've done all the right things and you're a good young player, let's give you a shot. And I think that's what the room that you can say does this the best, maybe the best in the country, is bringing in highly competitive guys and then getting them to push each other and not being salty and surly, maybe when they're got not the dude, mm-hmm. but with what Brian Hartline has done.
Room, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, all those guys, like, you can watch them practice. Like, they should all be on the field, and they know they should be on the field, and he doesn't like lie to them and say, well, you shouldn't. This guy's the reason why you're not is because this guy might just be a little bit better than you. Yep. We'll keep working. I'll mm-hmm. get you to where you need to be, but you have to have that relationship, that trust, and you have to bring in guys who aren't so self-centered and egotistical. It's like, well, if it's not happening on my timeline, mm-hmm. then it's not good enough for me. Even if your timeline in your head, because everybody always thinks they're better than what they are.
Right. Exactly.
And so, like, you always have some deficiencies. And as good as Jackson is, I guarantee you talk to him like, well, I can still work on this, this, and this.
And I know these guys are pushing too, so yes, I got to keep pushing to be where I want to stay on top.
Yeah, you guys make a great point. And I talked to a few of those guys in that room. I'm not going to bring up our personal conversations, but that's what they say. You know, earlier in the year, and I could just tell about one of these guys' demeanor, something like, you know, I went to his house after a game. Like, dude, you okay?
Yeah.
Don't let this discourage you. You know,
took me 4 years to get on the field.
Jesus Christ. Hit me where it hurt. But I was like, continue to work on you. And like, that's that mindset I'm going to take. Yep. But a lot of these guys are like, oh, I ain't playing. These guys are going to be, I'm out of here. And
they view the reason why they're not playing as someone else's fault, mm-hmm. which a lot of times it's like, hey, need to get better at this.
That's what I'm saying. That's the easy way out for to blame someone else. They don't like me. He recruited past me and all this other stuff. I'm like, dude, I went to a situation I wasn't this guy's recruit, period.
Yeah.
You know, and still try to fight and claw my way on the field.
Yeah. JC, I did think about Kevon Pope a little bit when Williamson was sending mm-hmm. the tweets and stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing that I thought about it when the Pope thing happened, Kevon Pope was not recruited as a Ryan Day player. He was recruited under Urban Meyer. Marcus Williamson, the same way, was recruited under Urban Meyer. Dallas Gant under Urban Meyer, not Ryan Day. The transition seemed so seamless 3 years ago mm-hmm. from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day. I think with the COVID year, it kind of prolonged some of these
some things that might have
but
happened.
I also think there are some guys who that transition was not easy for, and it might just start to be bubbling up. Maybe not. Maybe that's a little off base. But the guys that you've seen, you know, Dallas Gant, Kevon Pope, of course, you know, a very public exit.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Williamson now having a very public exit. Those were not Ryan Day guys. And it's not that Ryan Day, you know, doesn't like them. It's not that the current coaching staff didn't like them, but that transition, you know, is a longer transition because of the COVID year. Some things just might not have worked out for these guys who didn't come to play for Ryan Day and didn't come to play for this coaching staff, but did, and then realized exactly how it was going to be in a non-COVID year. And just sometimes it just doesn't work out. And so
Right. Sometimes it don't work out. That don't mean you start calling program racist.
I'm not saying that at all. I just think that, you know, the transition may not have been as easy for all the guys as it seemed for Urban Meyer, you know, winning Rose Bowl to Ryan Day immediately coming in and picking up the mantle. Like it wasn't as easy for everyone as it was for
as it appeared outside. Yeah. There's
a couple rocky things in there that happen when you go from, you know, you think you're coming in to play for Urban Meyer.
Well, Austin told me rocky things only happen at Rocky Top. So we're Columbus.
They primarily happen there. But I think that what Spencer's bringing up is an interesting point because this is now, you know, off season to get it ready for year four. And there's a push-pull where Ryan Day had said from the start, hey, that the foundation is in place here. You have Mickey Marotta. You have Mark Pantone. You have all these things that Urban built and the machine works. But Ryan Day didn't just get the keys and say, hey, be Urban. Like, and he's got to put his own stamp on mm-hmm. it. And that
nobody wants that.
That's right. I mean, that goes to the players. That goes to the coaching staff. I think you're looking at that. And I've had conversations with people. Well, could Chris Ash be a candidate for Ohio State as a defensive coordinator? Well, let's not just keep going back into the past if you're Ohio mm-hmm. State and let Ryan Day, you know, put his influence and put his mark on that program. And I think he is doing that. And you'll see that. I think Jim Knowles started on Sunday. He's going in. You know that's a swap there with Matt Barnes going out.
Mm-hmm.
Barnes going?
Memphis. D.C.
You know, we'll see. You know, there's a lot of conversation about a change with the offensive line coach. And Greg Stradrawas had health issues that he's had to deal with. We'll see exactly what transpires in this week ahead. But this offseason, again, you're talking about these guys, Pope and Gant and Marcus Williamson, they're gone, okay? That's going to continue to keep happening where all the players that will be in there will have been, you know, brought in by Ryan Day at the top or increasingly with the coaching staff that is hired and handpicked by him. And that's just part of it. This was an interesting nothing, as we say, went relatively smoothly. They won a bunch of games, but for Ryan Day to take control, that wasn't going to happen overnight, and that wasn't going to be easy for everybody. Coaches, players, everybody, that's tough. Like, Ryan Day has to assert his influence, and if players, you know, didn't enjoy it in the end, I'm certainly going to listen to their experiences.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird, man, because earlier this, about 2 weeks ago, I did an interview, and I was talking about, you know, different things, and one of the things came up was Coach Meyer and my time at Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's like, man, everybody, you know, for the most part, everybody know that me and Coach Meyer have a great relationship with Ohio State, you know, by design, though. You know, and when I say that, people eyes get big. They think I'm about to drop some dirt. Mm. What happened? What happened? Even though things did happen bumpy between me and him and the coaching staff, whatever, but that's between us, and it wasn't nothing as I questioned their love for me or wanted me to be better. I just say by design, because he put so much emphasis on his position coaches to have those relationships. And then I said, Coach Meyer ruined my college experience. Now everybody eyes get big. What did he say? What did he say? What did he do? What did he do? And I said, and I took the ownership of it, you know, being able to look back and see what type of coach he was and the style that he was bringing. I was recruited by a guy named Jim Tressel. You guys play for him. And his coaching style, his way he ran his program was completely different from Urban Meyer, night and day. And that was just me from being a recruiting trips and seeing what type of guy, seeing what type of person I wanted to play for. Now imagine, I said, imagine me walking into that mindset and then getting it's changed over one day, changed over one night because you got a new coach. Mm-hmm. And everything that I loved about Ohio State, everything was mainly because of this football program and what things Coach Tressel was doing, not because of Urban Meyer. So I'm walking in here with this one mindset, okay, I think things are going to be the same, and boom, they're completely different. I said, that would ruin it for me personally in the beginning. And I said, I wasn't mature enough to really adapt to buy into what he was selling at the time, because I had my mind made up on how things are going to be for the next 4 or 5 years of my career with this guy, this coaching staff that I grew to love, right? I said, that's what ruined it for me in the beginning. And
you and Nick Siciliano.
Yeah. And his quads, and his freaking quads, right?
Poor Nick Siciliano.
So that was my experience with the whole thing with Ohio State. I said he ruined my experience, but for a guy like Marcus and whatever messed up his experience or whatever he view as things didn't go his way, how about reflect and take ownership on why didn't it? Because it was. I bet you was having a lot of fun at Ohio State when you were playing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now things change because of coaching, like you said, with Ryan Day transition
or whatever
maybe,
it could be.
Yeah, whatever it may be.
Multitude of things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, take ownership of that.
That tough love mantra doesn't translate to everyone.
No,
that's
of course
only,
not.
That's the
of course
only,
not.
That's the only thing
not.
That I guess so, I'm trying to make a point of. Is like Urban Meyer, I don't think you played for him, was not the tough love type of guy. Like he's, you know, Ryan Day wants his office open all the time. He wants, like, to go from Urban
you bet,
Meyer.
Listen. If you're a backup player, you come and talk to his office, good luck. What are you doing in here?
You're not getting past the bounce.
Who you play for? Get this guy out.
Do we have a recruiting trip today? You look like you could play football. You look like you might be a player.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Coach Meyer? Look like you can play. Yeah,
you got your film on you?
Coach, I've been here 3 years.
Yeah. Oh. Well, apparently I was wrong.
Literally, I was wrong. Oh, God. That's a great line. Literally, I was wrong.
Who is this guy, Carter?
Right, exactly.
How's your mom doing, Carter?
Exactly.
So, like, no. It's that
Jay-Z's
kind of
never experienced that with Urban.
No. Urban doesn't know my name.
So I just think that transition to the tough love, you know, the guys that they relied on to be veterans this year were not – you know, brought into the culture as the tough love Ryan Day guys. And so to rely on them to be the veterans this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball,
Well, there was a lot going on in the middle of the year, beginning of the year defensively. I mean, we had coaching changes. We had all kinds of rotating in and out guys. I mean, it was nuts. So,
yeah. All right.
A lot
goes
into it.
A lot does, and a lot will go into the year 2022. We are ready for it. It's here. Happy New Year to everybody. Ohio State is the Rose Bowl champion. And there's a lot going on. We're going to get into it. We're not going anywhere as Roosters continues to let us hang out in the Letterman Lounge for Letterman Live. Appreciate Jay-Z, Cardale, Bobby, and Spencer for hanging out. I am Austin Ward. Thanks for joining us and watching. We'll see you next week at Roosters. It's a fun, casual joint.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.